continuing our series in the Gospel of Mark. I appreciate the message Brother Chad brought last week. And what a wonderful reminder that we ought to love the Lord. All right, Mark chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 21 through 25. Stand if you would when you find your place. A friend and mentor of mine often says regarding the business world, if you're not growing, you're dying. That's true in the spiritual realm as well. Perhaps you've heard it said, use it or lose it. That is certainly true. And our text clearly communicates this theme this morning. So let's pray, and then we will get into our text. Father, help us, guide us, I pray, as we look into your word. Without you, we can do nothing. We are insufficient for this task this morning. We are a needy people. Lord, there are wonderful truths in this text, but they are beyond my ability to proclaim and beyond our ability to understand. So we pray that your Spirit would work in us and through us so that these truths would be burned into every heart this morning. Encourage your people. Should there be one here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that today they would come to the knowledge of the truth. Do great and mighty things today. Help us now. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 21. It's on the screen, and you can follow along in your Bible as well. Scripture says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet or use, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Thank you, and you can be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This is the second parable given by Mark. And in it, the Savior uses the imagery of a lamp. It would have been a familiar item, as is the case with all of our Lord's parables. Most of you are aware that Mark and Luke also contain a parable in which a candle or a lamp is involved, or the imagery is invoked. But in those accounts, the purpose is different than in our text. Christ, no doubt, as all teachers do, use one illustration for multiple purposes. His purpose in using parables, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, is to explain the kingdom as well as encourage obedience. This particular parable, the parable of light, as I have called it, follows the explanation given to the disciples regarding the seed and the sower. You remember after the parable of the seed and the sowers, Jesus is along with his disciples and those that are following him more closely than the larger crowd. And they ask him about the parable, and he offers an explanation. This parable immediately follows that explanation in our text, and it is unclear whether this parable is given to the small group of his disciples or the large group that's following him. In my opinion, it is likely that this parable is given to the larger crowd following Christ, especially given the parables that follow this. At any rate, this parable sheds light on the purpose of Christ's ministry and kingdom, as well as the responsibility of those who hear him. Use it or lose it, as I said earlier. How we hear the word is very important. So then, as we consider this parable together, I want us to focus on two realities, the revelation of truth and the obligation of the hearer. The revelation of truth and the obligation of the hearer. You'll notice in verse number 21, the first thing that he does is give a familiar illustration. He uses a candle, or a, as the King James says, other translations say a lamp. What he's referring to is the clay pot that would have had oil in it, and a wick would have been in that, and it was used for lighting purposes. Everybody had one. Whether you were rich or poor, if you're wealthy, yours may have been more ornate, and your lampstand, as he talked about, may have been something more than simply a shelf protruding from the wall. It may have been ornate, but in every house, in every home, there was a lamp and a lampstand, a place to put it. And so he asks a question that the answer to is rather obvious. He says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? That is, a bushel, not in the terms you and I think when we think a bushel. It was a unit of measure, a basket that probably was used for grain and contained about 2 gallons. In that respect, it'd be closer to a peck in our form of measuring than a bushel. When I was little, there were lots of terms of measurement that I didn't understand. A mess was one of them. My dad would tell me to go to the garden and pick a mess of beans for dinner. I didn't know how much a mess was, so I just grabbed enough that I thought would work for dinner. A mess. Here our Lord uses this small basket to say, no one lights a candle or a lamp and puts a bushel over it. And of course, their thought was, well, no, nobody would do. Why would you do that? In similar fashion, no one lights a lamp and places it under a bed. This would have been a sturdy sitting couch or a couch of sorts, a bed that they would use to recline while eating their meal. But and in both cases, the understanding is that it would be silly to light a lamp and obscure it. And I bought a flashlight from Harbor Freight recently. I was out in Illinois, and my flashlight died, and I didn't have my recharger with me, so I used the opportunity to buy a really cool flashlight. So, and I want to show you how cool this light is. All right. Check that out. Isn't that great? See, all the kids are craning it. It's silly. Why would you turn the flashlight on and then hide it under the pew? You can't see it. Now,
Where were you last week? All right, no, I'm sorry. Our Lord's point is a lamp is not lit so that it might be hidden. Now, in this parable, Christ is the light. The Gospel of John says he was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And what the Lord is saying is, I did not come into the world in order to be hidden, in order to be obscured. Jesus referred to his disciples as the light. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, ye are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid. And insofar as we live the life that Christ intends for us to live, we live as Christ lived, and we proclaim his message, in that respect, we are the light of the world. So what Jesus is saying is, a candle or a lamp is not brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed. It is not intended to be obscured. Light is meant for all to see. In other words, you're not going to put it under a bushel or under a basket. You're not going to put it under the bed. You are going to set it on the lampstand, that is, the shelf that comes out from your wall, so that you can place the lamp on there so that everyone can see. The purpose of a light is to display. And as you know, a light fills the room. Just like this light, even though our lights are on, fills the entire room. Isn't that cool? And when the lamp is lit, everything in that room is revealed. And that's what a lamp does. That's what light does. It fills the room. Everyone is intended to see the light. But one thing that a light does is that it reveals those things that are hidden. He said in verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, I did not give the parables so that none of you can understand them. I did not give the parables to keep all of you in the dark. There may be a time when the truth is obscured. And if we're honest, the parables did obscure in some fashion the truths that Christ was trying to communicate. And of course, that was for a purpose, so that he could do what his mission was without being encumbered by those that rejected him. But I think another reason for obscuring the light is so that he would encourage his disciples to search further and to search harder. As one scholar said, treasure easily gained is easily let go of. Now, I don't think I'm doing a great disservice to the text, but if I can pause here to say that there are things you and I don't understand that he will reveal to us farther along as the song goes. There are no doubt passages of Scripture that you don't understand, that you grapple with, and I would encourage you to continue to grapple with those. The Old Testament prophets, they prophesied, and Peter says they searched into those prophecies. They couldn't understand them all. That's why Jesus talked about John the Baptist saying he was among those born of women, there was none greater, but he that is least in the kingdom would be greater than John the Baptist. What he meant by that was this guy who's the least in the kingdom, in a sense, is greater than John the Baptist because I have a greater understanding and I have a greater, more full revelation than John the Baptist did. You see, the Old Testament prophets, when they prophesied from a distance and they could see the mountain ridge. We recently took a trip to North Carolina, and as you're going down Highway 40 and you begin to see the mountains, there's nothing more beautiful in the world that I know of. But from a distance, it looks as if when you're going down, it's just one mountain. But about the time you get into the Tennessee Gorge on Highway 40, as you approach the North Carolina line, it opens up and you can see all of it for what it is. They were obscured for a time, but the closer we came, the more clear they became. And there would be a time, though not everyone knew who Jesus was, there would be a time where he would be revealed and everyone would know who he was. That which was hidden would be revealed. What the Old Testament prophets spoke of, his followers would understand. The hidden would be revealed. But a light does reveal those hidden things, doesn't it? When the word is preached, and let me just say, last week when Chad preached from Revelation chapter 2, understand this, you heard the word of God. All right? I understand that was Chad preaching. But insofar as he declared to you what the Bible says, you heard God's word and you are responsible for that as though you heard the very words of God. And when the word is preached, it reveals those hidden things in your heart that you weren't aware of. And all of us can remember when the word of God shined in our soul and revealed to us things that we were not aware of prior. You know what? When you if you're a bug man like I am, and you go into a restaurant and they say, I don't know why we have fruit flies. Do you know all you have to do is grab a manager or somebody and do like this? All of a sudden, that floor that you said you cleaned isn't so clean. All of a sudden, that spot you thought was clear has fruit flies and larvae all in it. That's what the Word of God does. It reveals to you the condition of your heart. When the light shines, it reveals to you who you are. And then, when the light shines, you say, as Peter did, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Or as Isaiah did, woe is me, for I am undone. That's what the light is intended to do. And light spreads to all corners. You don't have a light shine in a room. You don't turn a lamp on and then one quarter of the room remain dark. Right? Jesus intended for his disciples to go and send the light. As the song says, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light so that all might see and all might come to know the truth. Send the light, brother. So that wherever you go, you shine that light. And through all, and listen, if I can help you this morning, you do not have an easy road in front of you. But no matter what the cost, no matter what sacrifices it takes, the Lamb who was slain will receive his reward. And if one soul is saved, then everything that we experience in our life is worth it. Send the light. So the light shines, and the hidden things are revealed. So what? What does that mean to you and I? I mean, it's one thing to understand the light shines. It's one thing to understand that the light reveals truth. So what? Jesus said in verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but here he is saying it again. Because the reality is, not everyone will hear. When I was young, I was probably, I'm guessing probably 5 or 6. My mother walked into the room, and it was me and my sister Stacy and my stuffed animals. And I was letting them have it. I was preaching against everything I knew Stacy was guilty of. And I said to my, this is my mother's testimony, I don't remember it, but I turned and said to my mother, I just can't reach her. Some people won't hear. Some people will hear the word day after day, week after week, continuously being exposed to the word, and it will not mean anything more to them than any other book in the world. But for you, if you hear it, you pay attention. You mark it down. You underline it. You commit it to memory. You do everything in your power to make sure that the word spoken to you never leaves you. And Jesus said, listen to what I'm about to say. It's very important. And by the way, taking heed to what you hear and memorizing those things, those passages I remembered or I memorized as a little boy, I still remember. Get the word in you. He said, hear the word. But he also said in verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed, or pay attention. Give careful attention to what you hear. With what measure ye meet or use, it shall be measured to you. In other words, the measure that you use will be used to give it back to you. Carefully attend to the word. Because as I said a few moments ago, when we hear the word preached or read, we are hearing
the very words of God. So this exhortation is to pay attention or to give careful heed to what we hear, because the measure we use, it will be measured back to us. In other words, seek to understand it. Be diligent to apply it. You ever looked at your watch and then 2 seconds later you still had no idea what time it was? Or you read a page of a book but your mind was 1,000 miles away? Debbie and I had some errands to run yesterday morning, and on the way, I said to her, "What's on your mind?" Just curious, and she began to tell me what was on her mind, and you know, it was way different than what was on my mind. It never entered my mind what she was on her, but that's what our mind does. It wonders and it goes places. And Jesus says, I want you to focus on what you are about to hear. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Be obedient to what you hear. Now, stating the obvious, but if you and I are aware of what the Lord commands and we are not obedient to it, that word does us no good. And if you are aware of what God says and you refuse to be obedient to it, it may be a source of condemnation for you. Take heed to what you hear. Why is it important? Because you will be treated in accordance with how you apply the truth you receive. That is, the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. As Alexander McLaren said, the effort will not be in vain. Patient attention will ever be rewarded. The desire to learn will not be frustrated. In this school, truth lightly won is loosely held, and only the attentive scholar is the receptive and retaining disciple. Give careful obedience to what you hear, because you will be treated in accordance with that. And now listen, this is a, this is just a common understanding. In other words, if you had a business and that business was based on a route that your employees ran, and you have 5 employees, and you have 3 that run that route and get to every single customer and do exactly as they're told, and then you have 2 employees that are always lagging behind. They do not get to all their customers. In fact, you have to take customers from these 2 and give them to the 3 that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. When you receive new customers, which employees are going to get the new customers? The 3. So what Jesus is saying is, if you give careful attention to the word and become obedient to it and follow it, God will increase your knowledge and your love for him will increase. So many people say, I don't understand the Bible. Do you know the best way to understand the Bible? Read it.
People say, I don't understand how to pray. Well, you know how to talk. You know how to pray. But if you're not good at it, do it. If you refuse to hear the word and you refuse to be obedient to it, then the Lord will not give you more. Well, that's the encouragement to apply what we hear, but there are consequences. Why is it so important when you hear the word to be obedient to it? Why is that such a big deal? I mean, I've heard it said, and you've heard it said as well, you know what? I'm saved just as long as I make it. I'll be okay. Well, with that attitude, you just might not make it. The idea that, you know what, forget all this other stuff. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. I said that prayer back yonder. So I'll just keep gliding on and do my best, and I'll be in heaven, and it'll be all right. No, you're mistaken. Notice what the Lord says in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. This is an exhortation regarding the consequences. This is the same thing our Lord taught in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. And we don't have time to get into that this morning. But in the parable of the talents, you had some that took the talents and increased them. And you had others that buried those talents. And the Lord's response was, take the talents from that guy and give it to this guy. He's talking about consequences for obedience or disobedience. There are consequences in this life. That is, for the one who gives attention to the word now, he will be rewarded with an increase of understanding and love. Now, I know this sounds elementary, but it's true. I love my wife more than I did when we got married. A large reason for that is that I know more about her now than I did then. Got to talk to you about some of those. I'm joking. I'm joking. Knowledge feeds love. To know him is to love him. And so the one who gives diligent attention to the word will be rewarded with an increase of understanding and love. Conversely, for the one who is careless with the word, that hears it and refuses to obey, they will grow more ignorant and calloused. I mentioned in the newsletter that when I was young, I think I did, maybe I didn't, that I could switch hit. And I could hit just as well left-handed as I could right-handed. I can't now. Do you know why? Because I don't do it. I was listening to a lecture on systematic theology recently. Now, I studied Greek in college. I really did. And this professor, he was given a lecture on the doctrine of Christ, and he was in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and he started spouting off Greek like I speak English. Well, he was better at English than I. He was better at Greek than I am English. Lord, he was really good at it. And I thought, slow down, champ. And I had to open another app on my lap. Listen. Why was it so far to me? Because I hadn't been using it as much. Now, I look at words and I study and all that stuff, but I don't speak it like he does. I'm not as in-depth as he is in it. And if you hear the word
and do not give careful attention to it, you will grow more and more ignorant of it and become calloused. The truths that spoke to you will not speak to you in the same way. There's consequences in this life, but there's also consequences in eternity. As William Lane said in his commentary, what will ultimately be received in the kingdom of God will depend upon that which a man possesses of it now. What will ultimately be received in the kingdom of God will depend upon that which a man possesses of it now. For those who love Christ and give careful attention to His Word, there is a great reward. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We grow and increase in knowledge. As the song says, "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." And He continues to work in you. And as Romans 8 says, you are being conformed into the image of Christ. Make no mistake, the progress might seem slow and you might be frustrated with it. But I promise you, if you are Christ's, you are being conformed into His image. And if you are not, then you are not Christ's. So then the one who is not obedient to the gospel will lose all in eternity. In other words, how one responds to the seed sown will be confirmed in double portion by the judge. Jesus said, "Every branch," John 15, "every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." The warning is that if you are not obedient to the Word, if you do not submit yourself to Christ and the Word, there will come a day when even that part that you have will be taken away. Listen, all of us sitting in here this morning are some of the most privileged people in all the world, because we hear and understand the truth of Christ. There are people all over the world who will live and die and be condemned to hell who have never heard the name of Christ. And you might say that's not fair. Well, you don't want what's fair, all right? They die in their sin because they are sinners. But you and I sit here with a wealth of understanding. Every single one of us have a world of theology at our fingertips. Anytime you want to hear preaching, it's a click of the button away. You want to hear the Word, it's on your phone. It's on your bookshelf. Listen, it is a tremendous privilege to have the Word. But it's a great responsibility. And it would be a shame to know so much of the Word, to hear it so often, and not submit yourself to it and face the judge of all the earth in eternity. He said, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. At the beginning of the sermon, I quoted the maxim, use it or lose it. So I would ask you again, what are you doing with the word you receive? There are many of you, I would say, in fact, most of you in here love the word and you love Christ. My encouragement to you is to keep growing in your love and adoration for him. But there are some of you, you know full well who Christ is, and you know full well who you are, and you know you have no love for him and have never submitted yourself to him or believed on him for eternal life. And the best thing you can do this morning is to trust him. I would not rest until I had that assurance. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the light that shines and reveals truth. Lord, I know there are many in here that love you and are seeking to grow in you, though they do not understand all the things around them. I pray you would comfort them with your presence and draw them especially close to you so that they will stay faithful to you in all things. But Lord, for those that are here that know the truth but have never submitted themselves to it, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Help us now, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.